Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Anthony Turton, he's a professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of Free State. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning to you and the listeners.
Okay, so before we talk about the less important subject of desalination and water supply, what is the food that you, if you get one food to choose that you don't, that you like the least, that you really don't, you just can't eat, what is it?
When I was a small kid, I used to love all bran flakes, and now I absolutely hate them. I don't know why.
because you probably ate them to death. That's why. All right. So we're going to add you to our list. It's all bran flakes. That's Professor Anthony Turton. Now let's get on to the less important subjects. What happened with all of our desalination plants? You know, during the Cape drought, we were watching very closely as these plants were being erected. Do they exist?
Well, okay, let's unpack that question, because we actually don't have any proper desalination plants in South Africa, except for the least expected places, which is in the Witbank coalfields.
What? So
the only real desalination plants we have in South Africa are actually
inland.
Inland. The inland plants, and therein lies a very important.
Did the ANC design that? Did it come up with that idea?
No, it's engineers. Well, a South African company known as Prentec did the design, and Prentec at that stage was a world leader in mine water desalination. And of course, if I can just tell you the story about why that is significant, because whenever you desalinate, one of the problems is that you have to get rid of the brine. Now, the brine is the salt that you take out of the water.
Right, right.
Now, if you were at the sea, you could just put the brine back in the ocean and it's not a problem. It just gets diluted back in the ocean. Mm. But if you're inland, as you would be if you're in the Mpumalanga coalfields, you can't get rid of the brine because you create a brine lake that grows by the day. And brine is a funny substance in that it becomes like a jelly-like material. It never dries out. So the engineering problem in the Witbank coalfields that was faced initially by Anglo American and BHP Billiton, they were the two mines that led the way in that particular technology. So normally about one third of the total volume of water that you treat becomes brine. So two thirds of the volume becomes water, and one third of the volume becomes brine. And, of course, that was not possible in the coal field. So South African technology was developed to go to 98% water recovery, which is a world-class technology, absolutely world-class, developed by the University of Cape Town, UCT, called the eutectic freeze crystallization technology, where they would actually freeze the brine and then they would squeeze the last little bit of water out of the salt. And then you've got chemically pure salt substances that can then be sold on for other purposes. So that is the technology from South Africa, driven by the coal mines. And already the people of Witbank, eMalahleni, and Urgies at the Tweefontein colliery with Tweefontein water treatment plant, they already drink desalinated mine water. So the technology exists. There's no question of doubt about it.
Right. And in terms of the more traditional desalination plants, as we think of them, which is taking water from the sea and purifying it?
Well, okay, we don't. Okay, what you need to distinguish now between proper real desalination plant and what is known as a package plant. A package plant is a very small unit. So what went up in Cape Town and certain of the cities along the coast, they've been small package plants. And a package plant can never perform like a proper desalination plant. So if you look at the proper desalination in Southern Africa, the only real utility scale desalination plant is the Trekkopje plant in Namibia that supplies water to a uranium mine. Now that can function at the scale of a utility, in other words, a municipality's level of scale. And that is also interesting about built by Prentec, and so the same people that did the same technology. So where we get into desalination now, there are a couple of very interesting things that are happening. And the one interesting thing now is that the economics are changing as the technology is improving.
Right.
So we're getting to a point where in Durban, there's been a trial ongoing now for some time, where they've taken treated effluent from a wastewater plant, from a sewage plant.
Right.
That water is of good enough quality to discharge back into the environment.
Right.
They've taken that, which is fresh water, and they've mixed it with seawater coming into a desalination plant. And in so doing, they've reduced the salinity of the plant quite significantly. And in so doing, they've reduced the cost of the energy, the long-term life cycle of the energy of that plant. And that has been pioneered in Durban, and that is known as the remix model. And the economics coming from that now has made a unit of water treated that way equal in cost to a unit of water from a river or a dam. So those costs are coming together now, and very, very soon you'll start seeing the cost of desalinated seawater become cheaper than the cost of water from rivers, when your rivers are now becoming more and more polluted, more and more overloaded, and less fresh water available in each of those rivers as a result.
So it definitely would appear as though we're moving in the right direction, albeit very slowly. Is that what you're saying, really?
Yes, South Africa's lagging behind. You know, South Africa, we used to be world leaders in this technology. There's no real investment or incentive from government anymore to do the research and development. So all the R&D has now gone offshore. So Prentec, for example, is now in the Middle East. They no longer, they've got some presence, but not very much, okay? So Saudi Arabia, they've now got a very interesting new mindset. And I'll just share that mindset with you now. So traditionally, seawater desalination, the business model is about taking a unit of seawater and then producing drinking water out of that, and then you've got a problem with the brine. What do you do with the brine, okay?
Right.
So what the Saudis have said now is actually, no, that's not the way we're going to do business. What we're going to do is we're going to treat the brine as the resource we are trying to reclaim. And we want concentrated brine. The higher the concentration, the better, because in the brine you get things like lithium, you get all these rare.
So it almost becomes a way of mining.
They're mining the brine stream,
and they're concentrating
it. Byproduct, they get drinking water. So the business model is about mining the brine, not about producing potable drinking water.
So they've really turned it on its head. Very interesting.
Yeah, completely turns it on its head. And in other words, the economics now no longer has to stack up just to produce drinking water. And the problem with drinking water all over the world is that it's generally undervalued. You see, because water is regarded as a human right, it generally does not carry an economic value. And therefore, your business case generally doesn't stack up for water on its own. That's a conundrum that people face. But to understand desalination, I cannot see a future in South Africa. If we want to create jobs and restore investor confidence in the country, I cannot see a future that does not embrace desalination on a large scale. And I'll give you an example, the Vaal River. The Vaal River, as we currently know it, which sustains huge parts of the national economy, that is becoming increasingly saline on its own. There was a study done about 10 years ago called the Vaal River Salinity Study. And at the moment, they are managing the salinity in the Vaal River simply by releasing fresh water from the Kutsi Dam, which, of course, is not the best use of your scarce fresh water.
Right, so all they're doing is diluting it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so desalination will increasingly become part of Gauteng as well. And in fact, there's just two things I want to say about desal that people need to understand. The economics of desalination are dependent on two things. So there are two variables in the business model that people need to understand. The first thing is the volume that goes through the plant. A package plant is too small. It only produces 1 or 2 megaliters per day.
Right.
So the total cost of everything divided by the 1 or 2 megaliters per day is just too expensive. But when you're producing from 60 to 100 megaliters per day, now that's utility scale, suddenly the cost drops down dramatically. So the volume throughput is a very important variable. And the second variable is the offtake agreement with the local municipality. So if the offtake agreement is, say, for a 25-year period of time, where the municipality says, we will buy water from you at this price, at a predetermined price, for the next 25 years.
And they've got that enables
the cost of capital now to be brought down to a very, very low unit cost. And if those two variables are managed correctly, with the current convergence of technologies now, you can start producing the highest quality desalinated water at least at the same price as your surface water, and very soon it will be cheaper than your surface water.